It is good to be back in the studio. Welcome back to This Week in Wildcats Football, and it is officially week 8 in the MSFA. The Wildcats are riding high, heading into their bye week after taking care of their cross-county rivals, the Taylor Trojans. We'll get into all that today. This is going to be a shorter episode with the bye week, but with that being said, I'm Gannon Parker, and I'm glad you're here as well. The Wildcats put a whipping on their bitter rivals of Taylor University by a score of 56-7 on Saturday evening. The Wildcat defense shined, holding the Trojans scoreless for the final 55 minutes of the contest after allowing an opening drive touchdown. The offense kept on rolling with a dominant performance, with a heavy dose of Ryan Whitwell and Roosevelt Cage on the ground. The Wildcats improved to 7-1 on the season and remain at number 3 in the latest NAIA rankings. Before we get into that, as always, let's take a look at the scores and standings from across the Mid-States Football Association after Saturday's action. Siena Heights traveled to Lawrence Tech and came out with a victory, winning that one 34-14. Concordia hosted winless Madonna and kept it that way by a score of 67-6. St. Francis of Illinois upset St. Xavier in overtime, winning that one 36-29. Marion tops Olivet Nazarene by a score of 45-40. Rose Holman beat Defiance College 29-25. And St. Francis of Indiana beat Judson by a score of 49-20. Moving over into the standings, we start with the Midwest League. Marion and St. Francis both tied at 5-1 for the top of the Midwest League. They're both 1-0 in conference play. St. Francis of Indiana is right behind them at 5-2 overall and 1-0 in conference play. St. Xavier of Illinois is 4-3, while they are 0-1 in the conference. Olivet Nazarene is 3-3 overall, 0-1 in the conference. And Judson is 1-5 and 0-1 in the conference. Moving over into the Mideast League, the Indiana Wesleyan Wildcats remain atop at 7-1 overall. They are 2-0 in conference play. Concordia is 3-4 overall. However, they are 1-0 in conference play. The Trojans of Taylor University are 5-2 overall, 1-1 in conference play. Siena Heights is 2-5 overall, 1-1 in conference play. Defiance is 2-5 overall. They have not played a conference game yet. Lawrence Tech, 1-5 overall, 0-1 in conference play. And Madonna is winless at 0-7, and they have lost both of their conference matchups. Those are your scores and standings from the MSFA after Saturday. Scoring summary from the game, Ryan Whitwell got things going early with a 24-yard touchdown run. It was a 4-play, 69-yard drive to open up the game. Taylor responded quickly with a Kyle Turinchik 1-yard touchdown run with 10:48 left to go in the first. Isaac Smith then caught a 6-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine. Moving over into the second quarter, Roosevelt Cage had a 1-yard touchdown run. Isaac Smith caught another for 3 yards from Kyle Antoine towards the end of the second quarter. Moving over into the third, Simon Vinson got involved in the scoring. It was a 4th-down play. It was a 2-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine. Antoine then ran one in from 6 yards out late in the third. And then Blake Brumball caught a 47-yard touchdown pass from Arjun Lothe. It was Lothe's first pass of the game. And then with 36 seconds left to go in the game, Elijah Gibbs knocked in a 16-yard touchdown run, making your final score 56-7, with the Wildcats being victorious. Looking at the stats from that game, the Wildcats with 33 first downs, 16 on the ground, 16 through the air, 1 aided by penalty. For the Trojans, 13 total first downs, 7 on the ground, 2 through the air, 4 were aided by penalty. We'll talk about that later. Rushing, the Wildcats racked up 254 yards, while the Trojans only able to get 129. Passing, this was the huge dividend in this one. The Wildcats, 263 total passing yards. The Trojans, just a mere 18. So total offense, the Wildcats had 517 yards on 80 plays. The Trojans, 147 yards on just 52 plays. Looking over at some individual stats, we will start with the visiting Trojans. Jake Halderman was the starter today. He had just 3. Looking over at some individual stats, we'll start with the Trojans. Jake Halderman got the start for the Trojans at quarterback. He went just 3 of 7 for 18 yards and 1 interception that was thrown to Devin Arevalo. Rushing, Jamison Chester, the former Wildcat, 20 attempts, gained 97 yards. His longest was 25. Kyle Turinchik, 9 attempts for 34 yards and a score. That was from 1 yard out early in the first quarter. Evan Barker, who came in as more of a fullback running the Wildcat-type offense. 5 attempts for 6 yards and no touchdowns. Receiving, Hudson Holbein, 1 catch for 13 yards, and Dakota Sonich, 2 catches for 5 yards. As for the Wildcats, Kyle Antoine had a solid day, going 22 of 33 for 192 yards and 3 touchdowns. Arjun Lothe went just 3 of 5 for 71 yards and a score as well. The Wildcat quarterbacks did not hit the turf all game. For rushing, Ryan Whitwell went 17 attempts for 145 yards and a score. His longest was 37. Elijah Gibbs, 5 attempts for 45 and a score. Roosevelt Cage, 12 attempts for 41 yards and a touchdown. And Kyle Antoine had 2 attempts for 12 yards and a score as well. Receiving, Levi Tidwell led the way in yards with 5 catches and 70 yards. However, he did not score. Blake Brumball, 2 catches, 52 yards and a score. Isaac Smith, 7 catches for just 28 yards. However, he was able to find the end zone twice. And Ryan Whitwell, 1 catch for 25 yards and no touchdowns. So those were some individual stats on the offensive side of the ball. Defense for the Wildcats, Clayton Mosier led the way with 11 total tackles. 6 of them were assisted, 5 solo. Drake Deshetsky, a bounce-back game for him, 7 tackles, 5 assisted, 2 solo. Luke Bays, 6 total tackles, 3 were assisted, 3 on the ground. He did force a fumble. Antonio White, he had a pretty good game as well, 6 total tackles, 4 assisted, 2 solo. And Preston Sykes, 5 tackles, 3 assisted, 2 solo. So the Wildcats extend their winning streak after their loss to Valparaiso back in September. They are now on a 5-game winning streak. 3 of those 5 games were against ranked NAIA opponents. Just for reference on how good this Wildcat team has been, they have outscored their opponents 279-38 in their last 5 games. For reference, the lowest point total in any of those games for the Wildcats was 38 points. That was against St. Francis of Illinois. So the offense, the defense, special teams, they're really just coming together right now. They're playing really solid fundamental football. And just going back to this game against the Trojans, so many things went right for the Wildcats really from the get-go. Starting on the ground, they started off running a lot. It was a lot of runs to Whitwell. They're able to score quickly, and there was kind of a feeling in the press box, at least, and I'm sure it was in the stands, that okay, you know, Taylor, they're 5-1, but they haven't played a team like the Wildcats so far. And then the Trojans march right down the field, and they're able to punch it in right away. And you were like, oh, wow, that's new. We've never really seen that before from the Trojans. So I think the Wildcats, their ears kind of perked up, and they're like, okay, we got ourselves a football game here. And then the rest of the game happened. We went, oh, no, wait a minute. It's the same Trojans that the Wildcats have been used to seeing. And the Trojans came out strong. They weren't intimidated by anybody. I talked to Robbie Hunter, Coach Rohde, and some of the other players, and they all echoed a similar sentiment about they don't fear any team that they play, and they're going to fight to the end. And we saw that from the Trojans, so props to them. Also, their fans traveled really well. I realize it's a short drive, but the opposing stands, it's a much smaller portion of the stands, obviously. It was packed. The lawn was packed with purple shirts. But the Wildcats had great attendance, too. I was looking over at the official attendance. It was around 3,400, which I believe is the most that they've had at a game this season. I mean, just eyeballing it, it was packed. And it was an unbelievable sight to see from a fan's perspective. I'm sure the players really were able to rally behind that. It was homecoming weekend, so all the faculty, all the alumni, they were all there. It was just a wonderful atmosphere and a great environment for that ball game. So, yeah, the Wildcats really just able to put it together. Got some areas of praise. First, I want to start with the offensive line, and this has been something that I've been seeing for a number of weeks, but especially in this game. Kyle Antoine must be feeling pretty good. His body must be in tremendous shape right now, because Wildcat quarterbacks have not been hit a ton this season. Antoine wasn't sacked this week. I don't believe he was sacked last game. Every time I look at those stats about how many sacks that the opposition get on the Wildcats, it's usually 0 or 1. And anytime you can have that, you can have a quarterback with a clean pocket, with a comfortable pocket, that's going to spell, you know, that's a recipe for success for your offense, both in terms of passing and running. moving over to the defense, I thought the adjustments that they made after the opening drive were phenomenal. It was such a run-heavy opening drive where I think the Wildcats were like, I don't really think they ever tried passing the ball. I mean, Holderman just went 3 for 7 throughout the entire game. That was not a first quarter or first half stat. That was the entire game. He had just 18 yards on 3 completions. And the Wildcats knew that coming in. But on the first drive, you're feeling the other team out. It's kind of like in boxing. You got to slip the jab. You take that first punch, and you kind of figure out, okay, here's how I can kind of come back from that. And the Wildcats did just that. Credit to the front seven. They really started stacking the box, a lot of 7 and 8 man looks inside, because they were not going to be able to run on the outside against the Wildcats. There's too much speed at the linebacker position, as well as the secondary, able to just kind of hawk to the ball and get there right away. Jameson Chester, I'm sure, was looking for a revenge game. That was a huge storyline coming into this game. He had 97 yards, not able to get that score. I was a little surprised early in the first quarter when they gave it to Turnchick inside instead of Chester. Turnchick's a little bigger, a little more solid, so they kind of want to go with a more fullback-type look. So I understand that. I think, obviously, Taylor was thinking they'd score more points later in the game. But the defense just did amazing. Like I said, the final 55 minutes and some change of the game, the Trojans were not able to score. They had other opportunities. Late in the third, there was a nice goal line stand made by the Wildcats. They were able to push the Trojans back on a couple plays and just force them into running inside. And the Wildcats knew they were going to run. This is a run-heavy team. They like to run the triple option. When you have Jameson Chester, who a couple weeks ago against St. Francis, Indiana, scored 7 touchdowns, why wouldn't you give him the ball? So I think the Wildcats knew that. And, I mean, it showed. It was just a complete rear-end whipping on the defensive side of the ball. That is the Wildcats going against the Trojans. Offensively, Antoine did not have, you know, a record-breaking day like we're accustomed to seeing out of him. He's broken several school records this year, as has Arjun Lothe. But it was just a nice, solid, consistent game. He protected the ball well. He made good decisions, made some good reads, looked a little rusty to start the game, but they went pretty run-heavy for a majority of it. Ryan Whitwell, another solid game. Roosevelt Cage, always good to see him in there. Elijah Gibbs, able to get in the end zone. That was pretty awesome to see. Just several Wildcats that we don't see or hear from as much on the stat sheet and the broadcast, you know, whatever it may be, able to call their names because they're making huge contributions. I thought it was just really incredible to see. Simon Vincent, one of the tight ends, able to get involved as well. So it really was just an all-around group effort by the Wildcats in this one. But like any football game, there are some areas of concern, and this is not news to anybody who has been following the Wildcats this season so far. Couple areas of concerns. First, I want to start with special teams. Special teams, in terms of when they have the ball and they return it, they're usually pretty good. They have Grant Irwin and Miles Cox as their main return guys on kickoffs. They're usually pretty good at being able to take it upfield, give the Wildcats good field position. On punts, it kind of seems like the returners, it's usually Miles Cox will make some interesting decisions just in terms of fielding the ball. We didn't see that a ton against the Trojans, so I think they cleaned that up a little bit. But in terms of special teams coverage, especially on kickoffs, Wildcats had a lot of kickoffs in this game. The Trojans were able to get pretty solid field position, especially in the first half. We saw a couple weeks ago where in the first half the Wildcats gave up great field position. And then going into the second half, they were able to clean it up. Clifton was able to pin them deeper, but you know, no chance of a touchback, so they had to take it out, and then that's when the coverage team was really able to pin him inside. But that really seems to be an area of struggle for the Wildcats, especially in the first half of ball games. And when you go against teams later in the season, whether it's, you know, Morningside, a team that they played last year in the playoffs, whoever it may be, later down the stretch, I guess you could say, I don't want to say better competition, but they haven't really played any super solid ranked teams. Marion was the highest one, and I still feel like 10 was pretty high for that team, but they were able to dominate that game. My point is that that's going to need to get cleaned up. Otherwise, it's going to hurt the Wildcat defense and put them in spots that they haven't really been in all season long. Another area of concern would be penalties. Every game so far this season, the Wildcats have lost the penalty battle. They're averaging giving up 80 yards of field position per game. They've committed 59 total penalties through eight games, so that's just over seven penalties a game, which isn't the worst stat in the world to have, but it's also something that I think Coach Rohde's really going to want to get cleaned up, kind of similar to special teams, because you're giving up free yards and you're giving it to an offense that later in the year is going to be better and your defense is going to be put in bad spots. There was one penalty in particular where it was late in the game. Halderman threw a pass. It was great coverage by the defensive back, and then he did a celebration, and it was a 15-yard penalty. It was unsportsmanlike conduct because they ruled he was brandishing a weapon. Just silly stuff like that. We saw Isaac Smith commit a silly penalty a couple weeks ago after a pancake block. There was no reason for taunting or unsportsmanlike conduct, but they did it. They let their emotions get the best of them in those moments. And I understand, you know, they're college kids, so those types of things are going to happen. But it just goes back to presence of mind, and that's, I really fear, may hurt the Wildcats in the coming games. So with all that being said, I still felt like the Wildcats played a very solid game. There's some things to clean up. But, I mean, there are worse problems to have as a football team, as a coach, as players. So just a great victory by the Wildcats. They come away out of this one. They leave homecoming weekend by a score of 56-7 over the Trojans of Taylor University. So usually at this point in the episode, I give a preview and a rundown of the upcoming game for the Wildcats. However, they're on a bye week this week after playing eight straight games. They're just past the halfway point in the season, actually well past the halfway point. Now that I think about it, they've played eight straight games. They've been practicing since June. They finally get a bye week. I was talking to Coach Rohde last week, and one of the things that he talked about was this is a tired football team. They've been able to do what they have to mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, to stay locked in and just take it one game at a time. But this is a much-needed bye week for these guys just to kind of reset, refocus, take care of things off the field, but he doesn't want them getting too far from football because they have the most important stretch of the regular season coming up. They come in, they're ranked number three, and one of the things that Rohde mentioned as well last week, just asking about, you know, last season and how they went from being a top four team to getting the number six seed, which hurt them going into the playoffs. He said, we really can't be too preoccupied with what other teams are doing. It's more important about what we do as an organization. We talk about everything that's going on in the country for the first 5 minutes of their Monday meeting, and then they don't think about it, talk about it, or do anything with that information for the rest of the week, because at the end of the day, he is more preoccupied with what his team does because he has all the faith and the confidence that if his team does the right things, they can beat anybody. So the Wildcats looking to get some much-needed rest. They are off this weekend, but they will return to the gridiron on November 2nd at home against Concordia. That is all for this week in Wildcats football.